Good morning. I am Vicki Logan, and I'll be serving as your substitute liturgist this morning. We're going to put Vic Anderson on the prayer list. He is ill, and we all know Vic, and he would be here if he could be. It's great to have you here, and I want to extend a very special welcome to our visitors. We're just delighted that you're here. We would ask now that all of our members and visitors alike sign the friendship pads, which are located on the center aisle end of the pews. That will help to give us a record of your attendance. Also, I want to direct your attention to the back page of the bulletin, where there are a number of announcements, and I want to go over a few of those with you. Our enrollment for ACCDC is now open for current students and for church members, children of church members, but the open enrollment begins February 1st, so you might make note of that and spread the word. Also, this Wednesday night, all of our Wednesday night activities, including the Faith Family dinners, begin again, so you will want to sign up for that, and I think they're having chicken fried chicken this week, which is everybody's favorite. Also, we may be able to get a jump on Valentine's Day, because on February the 9th, this is going to be so much fun, our chancel choir will be giving a special presentation of show tunes and love songs called All About Love in the Wilson Activity Center. So you want to make note of that and make sure that you're here for that. Our women's Bible study begins Sunday night, that's the 28th of January, 5:30, and they will meet in the large conference room downstairs. So if you would like more information about that, please contact Jenny Curris or Pat Anderson. You'll want to be here for that. And now I would ask that you stand and greet one another as we pass the peace of Christ. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We will lift up our voices in praise unto God, our strength and our Redeemer, and remain standing for our hymn of praise, which is Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, number 103.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in our denial.
would you remain standing, please, for our affirmation of faith, which is the Apostles' Creed. It's number 881. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Well, good morning. How was your week? Did you like the snow? Did you go sledding? Okay. Well, I didn't go sledding either, but I did love it. So my question today is that we had 2 days where we didn't have school. And then we had to go back on Thursday, and we had Thursday and Friday, and we probably rushed, didn't we? Nope. Well, my question is that did you like having yesterday because you had a time to refresh? Like on Tuesday and Wednesday, you were home. You may have had to do some homework through your AMI? Packets. Yeah, I did bring that up, didn't I? And then you had Thursday and Friday, and you had, for us, it was like we had to do all of a whole week in just 2 days. And that's kind of crazy. And then yesterday, we're kind of like, and today we're, and then tomorrow, we're back in that same old routine. Where we go crazy because there's so much to do. Well, you know, the word for today, we've been doing a sermon series, but the word for today is refresh. And in the scripture, it talks about after Jesus was baptized, he went into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness for a while, but he got to really pray and really think about all that God wanted him to do. And he came out and he was refreshed. How are you refreshed? Is it that you just need some time away from your brothers and sisters? Do you need time away from mom and dad? Is there a time that you just need to be by yourself and just kind of renew your body and your soul? So my question is to you as we go and we start, you know, we always start with the new year, the resolutions and all of that. How are you going to refresh yourself this year? What are you going to do? So let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for today and we thank you for the snow we had this week and the fun we had. But help us this year be refreshed. How are we going to renew our souls in 2018? We ask this all in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song.
Neither snow nor rain nor dark of night slows down our chancel choir. They are wonderful. And now as we begin our prayer time, I want to remind you to lift up those on our prayer list. They're in your bulletin, and we have quite a long list. So many people in need of our prayers. Betty Watt, Charlie Ward Sr., Jean Beth Hill, Vicki Smith, Bob McInturf, Dave Mackey, John Carson, Lonnie Baker, Todd Mead and his family in the death of Todd's mother, Betty Mead, Lita Anglin and family in the death of her brother-in-law, and also I want to add the family of Hyla Rumner in the event of her passing this past week. And now let us focus our hearts and our minds on the Father, as we bow together in prayer. Our Father, we just thank you that for generations, following the sin of Adam, you watched your people stray. You would draw them back, and they would once again stray. We praise you, Lord, that you had a plan to redeem your people through the sending of your Son, Jesus Christ. He is God, the Son, and He came to earth to experience all the joys, sorrows, pains, and emotions that we feel every day. Jesus experienced temptation from the master deceiver, and yet He did not yield. Help us, Father, to follow His example and to place your word in us so that we can overcome temptation we face every single day. And Father, let us not forget to pray for our brothers and sisters here and around the world as we all desire to move closer to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now let's bow together as we bless our morning tithes and offerings. Lord, thank you for sustaining us each and every day through your blessings, but most of all through your presence. We are honored to return to you a small portion of those blessings as an offering of faith and thanksgiving. A faith we pray grows stronger every day. Bless, Father, the gift and the giver, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. join in our hymn of meditation, which is He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought. It's number 128 in the hymnal.
Please be seated. It is so good to see everyone this morning. Northern Kentucky is great, but there is, click my heels together, there is no place like home. I'm telling you. Well, let me ask you a question. What, not who, what comes to mind when I say the word ego? Are you thinking maybe of a behavior where someone is just acting like they're full of themselves? What about the word self-centered? Maybe a behavior that when exhibited, that person seems like they don't care about anybody else or anything but their own selfish wants and desires. Or how about jealousy? Now, at one time or another, we've all experienced that emotion. Admit it, guys. When another guy looked at your girlfriend just in the wrong way, you felt a little jealous, didn't you? Oh, and I'm not leaving you girls out either. Oh, no, no, no. What about when that girl or one of those girls that you didn't like is talking to your boyfriend? Yeah. You didn't like it one bit. Well, it happened, and it happens. And these are emotions that can just destroy relationships. Now, who, biblically, comes to mind when I say ego, or self-centered, or jealous? How about I say, instead of or, I say egotistical and self-centered and jealous. Yeah, Satan. And our text today will say a great deal in only a few verses. If you have your Bibles with you today, or if you want to turn to the Pew Bible, it is on page 761. I'll be reading out of the NIV this morning. Be reading Mark 1, 12, and 13. And I just pray that as God's word is read aloud, that you hear God's words instead of my voice, and that they find a place in your heart. Mark 1, 12, and 13. At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. The word of God for the people of God. We examined Jesus and his baptism last week. It was the first step in Jesus' ministry that he had to do as an example to us. For the church, the baptism is sacred, or a sacrament, as well as an ordinance, as it was ordered for us to do. Jesus had ordered, or really requested, his cousin John to baptize him after John had voiced his reluctance about his own unworthiness to do so. In Matthew 3, 15, we see Jesus replied to him, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. We see a beautiful event here. As Pastor Mary mentioned last week, the whole family showed up. Jesus the Son was baptized by his cousin John. Then God the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus, and then God the Father spoke. What a beautiful picture of the Holy Trinity as well as the family. And Scripture doesn't say anything about the others who were there that day to be baptized by John. Can you just imagine seeing and hearing everything as you're standing on the banks of the Jordan waiting to be baptized and seeing all of this happen before your eyes? I'm sure that they were in awe. It's probably being a little scared as well. Well, our scripture today says immediately the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. Now, we're not talking about the campsites by the River Jordan where they had the electrical plug-ins and the concrete picnic table sitting there at the campsites. No, we're not talking about that. In Southern gospel terms, the Holy Spirit led Jesus way out yonder into the wilderness. It was a place of isolations where the wild animals lived. One of the first questions we need to ask ourselves today is, why? Why? Why did Jesus need to go into the wilderness? Wasn't he fully God and fully man at the same time? Well, there are two things I want you to understand. When Jesus, God's only Son, left his position and all of his riches and glory, everything he had, to become human for you and me, he did so because the price for redemption of God's people had been set, and he knew it. The perfect Lamb of God came to earth. Leaving all of what he had behind, Jesus knew he could never go back on his own. Now let that sink in for just a little bit when you're talking about love. He knew he could never go back on his own. When Jesus died, he was dead. He did not raise himself from the dead. It was only the Father that did so. God the Father restored Jesus to his previous glory and seated him at his own right hand. God did that for you, and he did it for me. Jesus knew he was about to begin his ministry to the people of this world, and he had to prepare for it. The scripture says that he spent 40 days in the wilderness fasting and praying in an intense time with the Father. He knew his ministry here on earth was the reason that he left heaven. How often do we begin a life-changing event just in our own human lives with fasting and prayer? How about a new job, a marriage, a ministry, or even ending something and you want to seek God's direction for your next step? That is exactly what Jesus was doing in the wilderness, spending some very intense time with the Father and preparing his mind and spirit for the road ahead. And in the process of fasting, he was denying his physical self, focusing on his spirit. He denied his body that one day he would give up for you and for me in the new covenant. Now, can you imagine going without food for 40 days? I can't imagine going without food for one meal. I mean, black is very slimming. Now, I have. Black is very slimming. Okay, there you go. I have gone a couple of days at a time without food in military survival training. As some of you in the military know, that happens. And it certainly wasn't our choice, was it? The human body, without food, ceases in about 45 days, provided that we have water. Now, Jesus must have had water, but the scripture clearly says that he fasted without food for 40 days. He must have been extremely weak in his body, but his spirit must have been extremely strong for spending that intense time with the Father. It was at his weakest point, though, physically, that Satan came to Jesus. He had to be watching him from a distance all along, getting ready to strike at just the right moment. When Satan thought his egotistical, self-centered, and jealous mind that the time was right, he moved in and he tempted Jesus. And I just want to spend a few minutes on these temptations to see if we notice anything familiar in our own lives. Satan said in the first temptation, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus must have been hungry to the point his own body was literally eating itself to stay alive. Jesus' response, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 8:3, where it says, "He," talking about God, humbled you, the nation of Israel, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. Jesus hit back at this physical temptation. His physical need for food is what he needed. Have you ever been tempted in this way? And I'm not talking about food. What about our impatience? Have we ever wondered if God would provide for us after we had prepared, after we had prayed for it? Well, Satan came at Jesus again, attempting to appeal to what he thought would be Jesus' emotional need for security, something we all wrestle with at times. Matthew says Satan took Jesus to the holy city, to the place where the Jewish people believed the Messiah would return, to the temple that they had prepared for just that event. Satan said again, "If you are the Son of God." Notice the T's again. "If you are the Son of God." Satan knew who he was. He continued, "Throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. He will surely protect you from hitting the ground from this high point." Jesus didn't flinch, even in his weakened state. He replied, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Now look at this. Satan quotes from the book of praise, Psalms 91, verses 11 and 12. The one who is wanting to be praised is using the book of praise. Jesus hits back by quoting from the law, Deuteronomy 6:16. Once again, Satan has failed, even attempting to use the word of God against Jesus. Well, Satan has tempted Jesus' physical need of hunger, his emotional need of security, and he tries one more time, striking at Jesus' psychological need of significance, power, and achievement. Satan was in for a surprise. Jesus had already given up everything that he had in glory just to come here and be the Lamb of God, our sacrifice on earth. Satan pulled out all the stops, and he took Jesus up to the highest point on the top of a mountain where they could see all of the splendor of the world and all of creation. And he said, "All of this I will give you if you will just bow down and worship me." Jesus had had enough, and he responded to Satan's own need for significance, power, and achievement by saying, "Away from me, Satan," calling him by name. "For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Quoting scripture didn't work for Satan, but in his ignorance, tried to tempt Jesus with his own creation. Satan knew by his response he was beaten. What once worked on Adam, the man, did not work on Jesus, the man. The first Adam succumbed to the temptation of sin. The second Adam did not, as he was sent to earth to break the power hold sin had on mankind. After this, the scripture says, the angels came and attended to Jesus to refresh him. Now, here is something that I, in my view of this, I just can't understand. Satan, a created being by God, God the Son, the Word, had the ego, was so self-centered and was so blinded by jealousy that he, the created, would go to his creator and quote scripture and try to get him to sin. John 1:1-3 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." Remember, Satan was created with free will, just like you and me. Satan made a choice and chose his selfish desires over serving God. And we see that in people every day. But just this act of Satan going to his creator is beyond my human comprehension. How can we stand strong in the face of temptation? An ancient Chinese philosopher named Sun Tzu wrote in his book, The Art of War, in the 5th century before Christ, and obviously Satan didn't read that chapter before he went into the wilderness. Sun Tzu writes, "If you know yourself and know your enemy, you need not fear the outcome of 1,000 battles." Jesus knew his enemy, but do we? Do we know ourselves? It has been said that Satan and his demons have many shortcomings, but knowing scripture is not one of them. Obviously, Satan knows scripture, as we've seen this morning, and he will use it. What we need to do is to get into God's Word, plugging into Jesus through the Holy Spirit. We've got to be ready with the Word, with the sword of the Spirit, to use it against temptations, temptations we see every day in our lives. Know yourself as one of God's own children, a joint heir with Jesus in the riches of heaven. And know your enemy, Satan, as a liar and a thief, trying to rob you of your joy and your witness while here on earth, and from furthering God's kingdom, making disciples of all nations. We need to get into the Word on a daily basis if we're to do what God the Father is asking us to do. I challenge all of us in this new year to get into the Word more daily. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our hymn of commitment is Breathe on Me, Breath of God, 420. I invite everybody to stand. Our prayer rail is open if you would like to come forward and pray during this closing time in our service. And if you would like to join with this church by whatever means is acceptable, now is the time for you to come forward. Let us praise God with our hymn of commitment, hymn number 420. I hope that you've had a good week, and again, it is good to be back in Arkansas. Northern Kentucky is great, but yeah, this is a great place, and it's so good to be home back here in this church with my family. And this, we are a family. We're an Asbury family. Let's remember that as Mary carries this fire out of the sanctuary, this represents the light of the Holy Spirit. Let's make sure that that is in our hearts all the time, not just as it leaves this sanctuary, but as we leave this sanctuary, that we take this light and we share it with all of the world. Would you please bow and receive this blessing? Father, I ask that you bless this congregation, that you bless this church, that you bless this land. Father, may we always, no matter what direction we are traveled, that we are always facing you. In Jesus' name, I ask this, and as we all pray together, amen.
Amen.